Since God inhabits the praises of his people, our praise and our worship is actually an expression of our knowledge and experiences with God.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into a new series with Pastor Rogers. This is I Worship. This is part one from that series. Watch where I end up. Let's go into the message today.
We could get this thing done in 30 minutes if Pastor would just rattle on like that. Preach is so long. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks busting hell up right now that are saying, you know what, if I could just be back there and pass a service, I wouldn't say nothing about how long. Ooh, I can't get no help right in here now. I'm just telling you, whatever you value, you put a priority and worth on. And I just came to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the worth that I put on God is more important than my necessary food. Let me help you now. I'm going to call this church to a fasting and prayer in a few weeks from now. Look at some of y'all already locking up. Drool coming out of your mouth right now. You just, Pastor, I tell you what now, I love praying, but that fasting now, you know why? Because that flesh says, I'm going to eat. I don't care what anybody said. You just value that above the sacrifice you make to God. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Until you've been to that place, you don't even really have a song to sing. Come on, somebody. Oh, we love them all. When peace like a river attendeth my way. And we sing that, and sometimes we get a warm feeling. Everybody sit down. Oh, you know what? And I'm not against clapping your hands because that's a pattern. But we've substituted our praise. And God said, you don't give me, that's part of it. But with the mouth. Come on, you can talk about everything else. Can you talk about Jesus? And if you won't talk about him and praise him in here, you certainly won't out on the job. But if you'll bless the Lord at all times in here, then when you get out there and get in trouble, it'll be no problem to open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the raise. It's just words, unless you've experienced the depth of that agony. Come on, church, are you still with me? Look at your neighbor and tell them, watch where I end up. Yeah. Here's the man, Horatio Spafford. He's the one who wrote that song. How did he write it? After he sent his wife and his children on the boat to go to England, he's still in the States. And the telegram comes back years ago. All is lost. The ship went down. All of his family, gone. He got on the ship to go in the same direction. And when they were out there, he told the captain, whenever we get close to the place where the ship went down, tell me, I want to be woke. I want to be awakened. When they got there, the captain came and awakened him. He stepped out on the bow of the boat. He looked down into that dark water that was rumbling. It was holding the souls of his family and thousands of others. And in the spirit of God, he said, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Can you see it? When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. those lyrics out of his own painful place. And now people sing it like words off of a page. But if you've been anywhere near that, and some of you have, you know what it means to sing a song that comes from your spirit in true worship to God and not just from your head and your mouth. You got to lose something in order to sing a song like Amazing Grace. We sung it so much, they started singing it the other day at a political rally, but people don't know what it is because they've not experienced it. But I don't know if there's anybody in this building who's experienced it. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm found. That's worship. Was blind, but now I see. That was written in the bowels of a boat by a man that was caged up on a slave ship. And the melody was written out on all of the black keys of the keyboard, representing the agony and the pain of his soul. And he knew what amazing grace was really all about. Oh, how far we've drifted away with the professionalism of the hour that's created golden calves for people to come and worship. And we go through our routine checking off our worship and we say we're in the presence, but we've not seen the glory. Pace Assembly, I want you to know God is wanting to send a revival to this house, and let it start with people who know where you've been and know where you're going and will be willing to lift up a praise no matter where you're at in life. So now I'm ready to preach. You still with me? So David had been hiding in a cave of Adullam for years, written several psalms from this cave. He was already anointed to be the next king, but Saul, King Saul, the current king was chasing him to kill him. He's hiding in the cave. He's conquered armies, thousands. They sung his songs in Jerusalem. In this very location, in this valley where the cave of Adullam is the same confrontational place that he had with Goliath and slew him with a rag and a rock. And now, years later, driven from his home, after all these years, he's still running from his life, and he's holed up in a cave. And members of his own family and some of his mighty men that were with him before, they hear that he's in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2, that they came to join themselves to him. Listen to this group of people that are coming to David's cave church. I have a feeling, if you'll listen carefully, I have a feeling some of those cave worshipers are in this building today. Look at your neighbor and tell them, watch where I end up. This is what the book says. And everyone that was distressed, listen to the church that Dave is building. Everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there was about 400 people when the church started in the cave of Adullam church. And all of them were in distress. They were in debt. I got one confirmation back here. And discontented. And they all came to David and said, David, take care of us, lead us. The rumor was out. The rumor was out on David. David was already a walking dead man by this time. The word was out, Saul's coming to kill you. But because of David's previous knowledge and acknowledgement of God, Didn't mean that David was a perfect man. He just knew how to worship at the right time. That's the reason why you can't wait till you get a feeling in order to worship. You better learn how to worship God anytime, anyplace, anywhere. I got 12 people. Thank you for that right there. The rumor's out now, but David is thinking, you know what? I know who God is. And he writes Psalm 142, and you read that. He's saying, man, they're ripping my heart out. It's hurting me so bad. And then he comes back into that cave in Psalm 57. He says, Lord, I'm being torn, and it's horrible where I'm at. I'm in this bottomless pit. And all of a sudden, the church gathers inside of the cave, and everything flips in Psalm 34. Look at your neighbor and tell him, watch where I end up. Psalm 34. And I'm going to go backwards real quick. Watch this. Real quick. Look at verse 20. He's teaching them a lesson. He says, hey, God, I know him enough. God keeps all my bones, and not one of them are going to be broken. He said, now, I tell you, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I know enough about my God that he will deliver you out of them all. Come on, how many of you are having church with that right there? Verse 18, he steps up and says, listen, I just want to let you know there's a key here that the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I know that enough because I messed up with Bathsheba and I messed up over here and I acted like I was a crazy man with Achish, King Achish over here. That's the reason why I'm in this cave, but I want you to know it's broken me down. I've not let the situation kill me, but it's broken me down and humbled me in this cave. I know I'm anointed to be king. I know I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail, but I'm in this cave and I'm hurting, but I want you to know I'm of a broken and in other words, God, you're not going to have to break me. I'm ready right now for whatever you got in store. He's teaching them a little Sunday school lesson. He said, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their trouble. Verse number 10, he said, the young lions, don't worry about how it's going to be met. Now listen to this. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Well, I got to back up to verse number 9 because something is going off in my head. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Wait a minute, the Holy Ghost said to me, don't you remember those words before? This is David here who sat out there underneath a tree watching his lambs graze on green grass and plucked on his harp and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Come on, somebody. Once you've known something, don't forget what God's done for you. There'll be a time in your future that you'll be able to tell somebody else, don't worry about God meeting your need. He is the Lord my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the reason why when we sing, the Lord is my shepherd, he goes before me. You want to know why there's such an anointing on that? Not because somebody just gathered in a room and put some words down on a paper. You're speaking about the fact that God, the source of my ever supply. Come on, somebody. There's nothing in my life that will go lacking. Why? Because he's never failed me. I wish I had some help at 12 noon here today. I know some of you clocked out your worship. You punched your worship card for the week. But I came to tell you, you better watch where I end up. I'm going somewhere. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears, verse 4. And then he backs up and said, listen, we need to get together and call us a worship meeting. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I came to ask you a question. I wonder what would happen if everybody in this building and everybody watching online right now got together and worshiped at the same time. The last time that happened, there came cloven tongues like fire, and it sat upon all of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't come to be your cheerleader. I came to be your provoker. You ought to worship him because he's been good to
me. I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.